Welcome to Heroes Asylum, issue 20, where we take on the X-Men. Here at the Heroes Asylum, we drink to remember, not to forget.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, inmates, to Heroes Asylum, issue 20. That is right. We are here once again to discuss and delve into everything comic books, fantasy, and sci-fi. I'm here always with my partner in crime, Kane. How are you doing, brother?
Captain, what's going on, sir?
Oh, lovely Sunday again. I spent my day at the Lake County Comic Con or Lake County Con Convention or whatever they were calling it. So full of geekdom this week after we did our Batman and Robin
some of us are still recovering for that. That was an interesting one, that's for sure.
They're always fun when we do the watch-alongs and the reviews.
Yeah, that's always good times. You know, this one especially hit a little bit too close to home. I guess when you get a chance, people will listen to it and discover for themselves.
What
occurred.
Yes, it was. There was some colorful comments made during that. It's always fun. And thank you again, guys, for everybody that did vote on that one. Just, you know, we thanked you guys all, you know, on the episode. But yeah, it's always great to have you, the Heroes Asylum inmates, join in and help us out and decide what we're going to be doing. Which is kind of what we're doing today. I mean, this was sort of a fan request today. We will be delving into the world of the X-Men.
It's a big world.
Very so. Big. Yeah. We may be doing another episode. I think one episode is not enough to really delve deeply enough, but we're doing it in honor or in preparation, so to speak, to the X-Men Fox franchise. So the Swan Song, the Dark Phoenix will be coming out this week. So we're going to kind of do a combination of, you know, what we feel as somebody that's never seen this, if somebody's never seen this series before. What are the three movies that I, as a fan, and Kane, with the three movies he would choose to lead you into wanting to watch it? So that's the plan today. That is after we talk about the admissions award. So we will be jumping into the admissions award here in a sec.
Mike, Captain Mike, as in always, the admissions award is where we go through the sections of the week of news, movies, etc., etc. I'm going to start this one off because it's fresh in my mind. I just got back from seeing Godzilla, King of Monsters, and I got to say, it eclipses the first one in a lot of ways, and if you love kaiju monsters and all that like I do, especially the way I grew up, you're going to like this film because that's all this film is full of, just monsters upon monsters upon monsters upon monsters. And it just, if you're a big fan of the old school Toho stuff, it adds a lot of lore from that. Basically, it's almost like a continuation. Just a lot of throwbacks to the older series. Special effects are insane. Monster fights are insane. And, you know, there is a little post-credit scene that alludes to something of things to come. Not the obvious thing, which is we all know that King Kong vs. Godzilla is coming out next year, 2020.
Right.
Which I can't wait. But just more stuff.
More stuff. Like, very cool.
More stuff that I didn't even think of till I actually got a theater. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it's leading to things that, you know, basically building, you know, another world. Because if you think about it, and I didn't think about it till I left the theater, Toho was actually one of the first to create a cinematic universe. If you think about it, with all their Toho monster films back in the 50s, 60s. So they were originators, the OGs of the cinematic
world. Yeah, I guess, them and I guess the Hammerstein group, you know, they were the originators. But I would definitely say Toho was definitely that. I want to watch this a lot because I grew up in the during the 70s, early 80s here locally. And I mean, same thing for you, too, because we grew up in the pretty much same era. Saturdays, they used to have the Godzilla movies. Yeah, the Godzillas. Yeah. And like after that would be Ultraman. I mean, just it was so much fun to see those. So I'm really interested to see this and, you know, and see what they do. And it just it blew me away. I got goosebumps when I saw the first trailer and I saw Mothra just flying across the screen. I was like, are you kidding me? We're finally getting this. And it
looked you will amazing. Not be disappointed. That's all I'm going to say. It's something that's. That they've been building towards, I guess, for a while. Well, not for a while. I guess it's the second movie in their series. Actually, no, the third, because I think Skull Island counts. But yeah, you say, will.
What's the? What is this part of the that trilogy so far right now, or is that?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That is.
Yes.
So the
yes,
one that it, was Bryan Cranston was on in 2 years ago. That's this. That was a. This is a lead follow up to that.
Yep, because they Kent Watanabe, who is the doctor in that 2014 film, he's the only one, I guess, that's they kept over.
Gotcha. Okay, I just wasn't sure if they just kept over the same actor is all I do. So that's why I had him. To ask.
He was the only one that was worth it. Everybody else was like, you know, you could leave Aaron Taylor Johnson back in, you know, X-Men. Right.
But it is taking place in the same world, though.
Yes, okay. Same world. Perfect. It's actually, according to this sequel, it takes place 40 years later.
40? Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So there did a little bit of a time jump, but
and he still looks as good as he did at the in the first one, huh?
Yep. Still same.
Damn Highlanders. Can't trust
him. Island. Can't trust him, man.
Well, that's great to hear, man. I was really hoping to hear some really good reviews about it, because it's just one of those movies that you don't expect. People to, you know, you go in to expect one thing is what I'm trying to say is that you're not going in going, I hope it's, you know, amazing acting and you know, I want my Oscar moments. No, I want a big giant monster breaking crap around it, you know, fighting another one. End of story.
Yeah, that's it. And when I saw some of the reviews for it, I was puzzled by it. Like, you know, this is not an Oscar movie. This is not Daniel Day-Lewis and then Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it's supposed to be. It's a kaiju. It's called Godzilla, King of Monsters.
Yeah, that's what I was scratching my head with. I saw some of the same comments and reviews of there wasn't enough human moments. I'm like, it's a monster movie. What do you want?
If you want a human element, go watch The English Patient. You know, just...
There's even moments in the trailer I saw where, you know, is he our pet? No, we're his. So that feel to it is already there in the trailer. They've already told you what to expect is this.
Exactly.
So well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad we're getting that. They're finally dialing into that world and that in those types of movies.
And they are diving in deep. I won't give no spoilers away if you haven't watched it. I'm just going to say there's some deep, deep dives, and they are definitely building a larger world around this.
Very cool. Always like to hear that.
Yes, sir. What else do I got? I got Galaxy's Edge. Mike, Galaxy's Edge.
Yes.
It opened this week, and I believe in California, yep. Anaheim. I don't think it's open in Orlando yet. I think it opened
until October. October. Is it August? I thought it was
October. I think it's August. Yeah. So anyway, we got our first look at Galaxy's Edge in Anaheim. And I got to say, I'm going to be broke. But when I head to this thing, when it does open up in our friendly neighborhood, Orlando, lots of good stuff. I'm hearing good stuff about the Millennium Falcon ride, the interactive ride. But one of the things that I was looking at, and actually I'm looking at it right now in my notes, is they have this section where you can build your own droid.
Yep. $100, I think, is what they. $99 is the price for it.
I think I'm gonna have to do that.
That one is definitely that, and they also had a lightsaber builder as well. I don't know what the.
Price I didn't see that. The lightsaber.
Yeah, I saw it on there. I was one of our good friends to the show. She is a card carrying member of the Mouse Club, and so she's got the yearly pass, and you know she's all stoked. She's like, I can't wait. It's her birthday year or her birthday month and everything. So it's like, you know, she's ready to go, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not gonna go until next year. I don't want to wait 3 hours for one ride, and then I got to go because apparently. I think there was a time limit that they put in for the Anaheim. I don't know if they're going to do that for Orlando, but there was there was a 4 hour limit for visitors.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I want to actually go in and enjoy myself. I would rather it just kind of, let the mad rush happen and then I'll go. I'll eventually get there. I'm just not, you know, as much as I love Star Wars and trust me, I love my Star Wars. I'm not ready for that kind of nightmare, especially in the Florida heat.
Well, it'll be a little bit. I'll probably wait till the fall then. You know, October probably, like you said, is a good time to head over there.
Yeah,
You know, the early rush, August, I won't head out. September, I won't head out. But, you know, October gets a little bit cooler. Might be, you know, better idea headed to then.
But, yeah, so. I mean, definitely, I'm so happy to see it. And just everything I've seen and read about it, I am looking forward to going. Just, I think I will rely on others' experience right now.
Other people?
Yeah, for right now, and I'll wait, and you know, I'll eventually go. I'm kind of curious on certain things. Like I've heard, like, you know, rumor that, you know, if you fly the Millennium Falcon and you crash, you get out. I was like, wait a second, what if the person that sucks doors is doing this?
Yeah, that sucks. That's wait a minute. I paid like almost $80 to get in here. You're gonna kick me out because I crashed a freaking interactive, you know, shit. That seems kind
of
messed
up. Come on, at least in video games for a quarter, I get 3 tries. I'm paying you quite a bit of money. Let me get a couple of tries here.
Yeah, gave me more than one. That's kind of sucks. Anyway, but a Galaxy's Edge is open. Yes. So if you want to head out there to Anaheim, check it out.
A lot of good reviews out there, guys. Check them out on YouTube. There are quite a few, you know, doing the walkthrough. A couple of them I've seen on the Blue Milk, Green Milk reviews. Everything I've heard about the milk is that it is something different.
That's what I heard also. Yes,
there's no real way to describe it. But it's just different.
That's what they said. There's no, they haven't described it as, like, you know, I haven't seen any scenes or any incidents of people being hammered on blue milk just yet. But, you know, they just said it's a different feel. That's all I get. I'm like, that can mean an odd thing. So I'll have to check that out. Anyway, next thing we got is, this past Friday, if you have the DC streaming service, as you know, last week was the season finale of Doom Patrol. By the way, if you didn't get a chance, please do watch it. Insane and crazy. We got the beginning of another DC streaming service television show, and that was Swamp Thing. And I watched the first episode, which is the pilot. Gotta say, very impressed. DC once again knocking out of the park with their streaming services. Body horror. Basically body horror, and it's everything that I want. It's a horror. It's the horror-filled Swamp Thing that I've wanted, and I don't know if anybody's got a chance to see it yet, but please do watch it. It makes me want to watch more and dive into the world of the Swamp Thing even more. So, Mike, did you get a chance to see it?
No, I have not gotten a chance to see it. I'm getting a busy weekend, so I have not. That is on my list to see. I have a nice midweek day off, so I think that it will be on my to-do list. But yeah, definitely, like Kane was saying, you check out the DC service, especially Doom Patrol. I was having a talk with a friend today, and they're like, "Well, I need to watch this and watch this." And then, you know, they in their list, they had Doom Patrol down like number 5. I go, "No, you need to bump that up. You need to not watch that other one. Well, you can watch that one later. Watch Doom Patrol first. It's so much better than that other one."
I think it's better than the first season of Titans, to be honest. Titans to me was a little bit slower. I mean, Titans didn't really. I think Titans will pick up in season 2, but I think Doom Patrol, it just went all out. It went all wacky and crazy, which I'm kind of impressed by. I'm like,
okay. It's exactly what they did. They had no limits, and I think it was because of the freshness and the anonymity of Doom Patrol. It wasn't a big blockbuster. You know, you couldn't go in there and change and delve into like little things a little bit deeper into Batman or Superman. Because just everybody has these people already ingrained in their mindset. You know, they're ingrained in pop culture. You know, they're part of the zeitgeist of pop culture now, and you can't go in there and toy with it too much. You have to stick to it because people's brains just would completely won't accept what's going on. So
no, they wouldn't. This is it's not a hard show to follow, but it's out there.
It's out there. Yeah.
It's out there, and you have to really suspend your belief unless you've been a fan of the comics and Doom Patrol, then you know you'll be okay, and then you'll actually love it. But if you've never seen it, like I said, you got to suspend your animation or your disbelief for a little while.
Especially when it comes to goats.
Oh yeah, when it comes to those goats and cockroaches too.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's as Brandon Fraser said, the fucking goat.
Gosh.
Very cool. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a Swamp Thing will be on my list to watch here for this week.
Okay. Yeah. And one of the last things that I got as far as my news, because for me it was kind of a slow news week as well. I guess it's official. I guess people can stop crying now. Robert Pattinson is Batman. He has signed on for a trilogy with Matt Reeves. And according to this Deadline, he'll be facing the Penguin and Catwoman, which doesn't really, you know, do anything for me since I've seen them before. It's just a report. It's not confirmed, but I hope it's. I mean, if it's the Penguin, that's fine. You can sprinkle in somebody else, but you know, I don't want to see Penguin and Catwoman. I mean, I understand why they would do it because you want to I guess they're setting up that Gotham City Sirens spinoff. And another rumor is that they're setting up a Gothamverse, which kind of like, okay, a Gothamverse when you have a DCverse. I mean, that's a little, I mean, why? I don't know. When I heard that, it kind of makes me like shrug my head a little bit. Like, we're trying to set up DC, but you want to set up a
you want to go backwards.
Verse. I mean, not that I would mind, but yeah, you're doing, you know, set up the DC. I mean, it's like I told you before. You know, DCO has this great lore they haven't even touched yet, and I just think they're afraid.
That they're gun shy. They tripped. They fell. They listened to too much. They listened to that vocal minority out there, and they feel like they they're not taking into consideration their successes they've had recently. And I think that's what's so bad is they understand that, you know, Aquaman did great. Shazam has done great. Wonder Woman's done great. And now you have these three movies out of, I mean, how many did they have beforehand? Batman, one, two, three, had so total of three failures, three successes. So they're about even right now. Mm-hmm. Because there's still a lot of hate for Man of Steel for whatever ungodly reason. But yeah, another show.
That's another one.
That's a long show. But they're talking about this because they linked Aquaman. You know, not only was it the right actor, you know, the same actor, they could have gotten away with it and just kind of washed and said it's not part of that universe. But they referenced it. Same thing with Shazam. They reference Batman. They even have, you know, guys, it's past the time. They even have Superman, you know, cameo in the trailer scene. Mm-hmm. So it's they're screaming that, yes, we're in the same universe. So let's build that. But yeah, they're talking this one to not be part of the DCU and to build off of the Gotham world and Gothamverse. And that's great. But that's Batman, though. But are you going to have enough guts to truly do a Gothamverse? That's the one thing, because right now you already got Nightwing and Robin tied into Titans, so they doubt they're going to rip him rip that character out, unless WB's loosened up their rule of they can only be in one place at one time.
That's so silly. I think you tie your hands when you're doing that.
I mean, it's good and it's bad. I see their understanding because the general population won't get it. Is that the same character that I watched on the movies 2 weeks ago? I kind of get that idea of it, but at the same time, yeah, they are tying their hands.
Yeah, especially, I mean, since Marvel just does what they want, and then, you know, I know you don't want to follow that Marvel blueprint.
And they don't need to. They don't.
You know, have some guts.
Yeah.
Just.
And you and I have talked about it. The DC world that we've seen now is a much deeper world as far as what these people are going through and the emotional world and the emotional things that they go through. Because you can see it if you guys just looked at DC Universe, you know, the streaming service, they're taking chances there. They're just blasting everything out there. And that's what DC looks like without the handcuffs of WB on them, honestly. And that's what DC needs to do.
Because they're not afraid. They're unhinged. They can... They can throw in some cameos of here and there, you know, hey, look who's going to show up here. Look who's going to show up there. Yeah. Especially in Titans, you had Donna Troy show up. That was kind of cool. Yeah,
that was great. Yeah, and they mentioned, you mentioned Justice League.
Yeah, you know? They're in that world.
Even Doom Patrol did. Doom Patrol mentioned Justice League, you know, Cyclops is on there. He's training to, next year he wants to try out for the league.
Yep.
And it's they're there. They're a looming bigger than, you know, the characters we're looking at, but they're there. And I that's why I appreciate that what DC's doing.
Yeah, that actually I like that way. You know, the way they're setting the Justice League up, they're just there already. You know, they don't need a setup. They're there.
Yeah, but they're almost bigger than life, kind of, because
that's the way you need to do it. I mean, because eventually when you see them, you're gonna be like, oh my god, it's the Justice League. You know, it's just like they're bigger than life. You know, it's like I've told you before in our conversations when we saw Endgame. And I'm going to spoil some stuff. You know, Endgame's been out for a while as well. When we saw that climactic battle scene, I think we've talked about this in the podcast before, I kept envisioning, you know, the Justice League versus Darkseid in Apocalypse in that kind of scenario, that, you know, gigantic splash page of one side Justice League, one side the armies of Apocalypse, and just going at each other. And I just kept saying, you know, Marvel, you've done great, but damn, I just wish – It was just another universe where I'm seeing Darkseid fight Superman or Batman going after Granny Goodness, you know, just Wonder Woman fighting some parademons. And I mean, we had that in that Justice League movie, but it just, you know, it just wasn't what I thought it could have been.
As big as we wanted it to be. And it's the same thing.
Yeah, it was to me small.
You're talking about the Robert Pattinson Batman being not part of the DCU. They're even the Booster Gold script just got finished, and they're saying he's not going to be part of the DCU.
I don't get that.
He's a superhero from the future who learned and steals things from superheroes in the past. How can you not have him directly tied into a superhero world that you have? That one just blows my mind, and it scares me to what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, because it's like they're almost afraid of their history. They're just like, oh, well, people won't understand this. Are you kidding me? Have you seen how much money Marvel has made? Just make a good story and throw it out there. And then you could put all your little winks in there and you could put all your cameos. I mean, you can make it happen. Stop being so afraid. They're just thinking like money first. How much money is this movie going to make? Guess what? If you make a good movie, they're going to come.
Exactly.
Like that old saying, if you build it, they will come. Guess what? If you make it, they will come.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I'm just worried about them. And worry me more and more. I'm happy to see these movies. I'm happy to see these characters on the big screen. But it's how I'm seeing them I just don't like.
It's just like they have the books right in front of them. I mean, I'm not saying to adapt straight everything like that. You can't. I understand that.
Yeah.
But do what, you know, what Marvel does. They cherry pick some good stuff. You know, they just still cherry pick here, cherry pick there. Then they use it, wrap a story. Guess what? You got a good movie. Yep. And it just seems that DC is just so terrified of their history. They don't, oh, we can't do this. Oh, yeah. People won't understand a guy in a gold suit. Looks weird. Like, just...
And again, I don't think it's DC. I think it's honestly the WB side of it that.
I think it is. That's WB, Warner Brothers. That's old money. They've been around for a while, and they just want to do things their way. And it's, you know, they got to adapt, and they haven't adapted yet. I mean, hopefully, like I said, the future is better, but you know, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Like I said, from what I've heard about Batman, and then what I was reading about Booster Gold, I was like, don't pull them out of their own universe. Don't make them centralized. Make them part of the group. Do what you did in Shazam. Do not. Yes, he is there. Yes, he is part of this bigger world, but he doesn't have to interact. That you don't have to see them.
True that.
You know, have him doing something and see a green beam of light go flashing by. Just happens to be Green Lantern flying by.
No big. Yeah, it's okay. I mean, you could do that. I mean, it just.
Yeah.
Like I said, Mike, I could sit here for hours and just tell you the issues of DC maybe that. Well, I'll do that one of these days and one of these after shows. But it's just frustrating, especially as a DC fan. Like, I like the Marvel stuff. I really do. I appreciate what they've done. But it's just like DC, as I've always told you, they have gold, literally stacks and stacks and stacks and years of history and knowledge on their side of epic storylines that they haven't even touched. And it's just like they're afraid to do it. They keep, like, for years, it was always Batman. Hey, but guess what? You got to evolve. They should have built their cinematic universe years before Marvel because they controlled all their own characters. But it was just that fear. Let's make another Batman movie because we got to make money. Let's make another Superman movie. We got to make money. It's just like, okay, I'm Batman'd out. Like, come on. Like, just make Green Lantern. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand. Yeah, I get the feeling.
Ugh.
But it's, you know, again, I think it's just that somebody, I think it's the production company that's doing it, not so much the actual writers of it. And they got to learn. And it's, unfortunately, as a DC fan, it hurts me deep down. I just, every time I see these things, I'm like, it's not, they're just, you're just missing the boat every time. So,
yeah. Anyway, so what do you got for us?
That was actually it. Mike? Honestly, this week it was quiet. I actually had the thing about Booster Gold, and you brought up a couple of the things that I was going to talk about. So, yeah, it's been an overall quiet week, which is kind of a good thing because we do have E3 coming up this weekend.
Yes, sir. E3, so, big stuff because they're going to drop, I think they've hinted at some stuff that might be droppings for superhero related.
They did, yeah. There was droppings of Avengers 1, and there's like a whole bunch of... I'm interested because there isn't much to drop other than the Avengers game, EA getting Star Wars back, so they might do some announcement of game ideas and stuff like that. Really not much, you know, I have seen. So, but it's going to be an interesting week. It starts Tuesday or Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, I believe.
So I know it's a long, long week. It's not like a, the Mega Cons or the San Diego Comic Con, where it's an extended weekend. It's pretty much taking up a whole week. So
that's when they introduce all the games coming out this year and next year, and yeah, there's going to be some good games coming out. Yeah. So maybe I'll do a little report on that next week.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll have a little section of what was announced.
Yep. So I guess that's it for the admissions war, Captain.
All right, folks, so here we are for this week's story, and we're going to be discussing X-Men, Dark Phoenix. It's coming out. Can't believe it's here.
The last line, I guess the last film in the Fox series, The X-Men, which is kind of incredible. They started in 99 or was it 2000? I think 2000 was the first film.
Shoot, I never did take a look at that one.
Let me see. I think it's – I have the X-Men movie right in front of me. 2001 was the first. Yeah.
First X-Men. Yeah. And it was great when they first came out.
No, 2000. I'm sorry. Yep. 2000 was the first one. So, wow. 19 years.
Yeah. You want to talk about Marvel. People are talking about how great, the Avengers have been, but you look at what they've done. Fox has done with X-Men and Marvel and, Fox doing it with that, it's a big, big, long storyline that they've been able to twist and turn, to go through everything. And with this one, we had chosen just X-Men movies. And when we say just X-Men movies, I'm taking out the Wolverine. We took out the Wolverine, or Logan, sorry. And then we also took out Deadpool. Understand he is part of the world, and there was a bit of a nod to it, but we're talking
just straight X-Men movies.
Straight up X-Men from, like you said,
from 2000 to now. I mean, basically there's only six, so none of the spinoffs we put in there, thank God for at least, a couple of them, because they weren't really worth a damn. But, I'm serious. Like, I won't mention, Wolverine Origins, but basically it's going to be the six X-Men movies. We're going to choose the best three out of the ones that you can watch, all leading to the Dark Phoenix, which will be coming out this Friday, I believe, in June 7th, which is, like I said, the last of the Fox series. And it's crazy because now it's going to go back to Marvel. It's going home.
Well, I mean, it's always been home. Marvel was always part of it. It was just the distribution was Fox. Now it's going to be. And who knows? I mean, I was looking at it. They've actually got distribution for this till 2020. So I'm kind of curious what they're planning on doing. If they're going to keep it a separate and then slowly merge them in together or what, but that's something we can, we're definitely going to venture into here. So, sir, what do you have for your very first, pick? I've never watched this. I watch Game of Thrones and I really like that girl from Game of Thrones. I saw that she was in that, in the trailer for Dark Phoenix. I don't know what to do to get into this. Where do I start?
Well, if you want to start, and for me, I believe the first X-Men movie you should watch is X-Men First Class. To me, that's the beginning, literally the beginning of everything. It basically shows young Charles Xavier and young Eric Lyncher meeting for the first time. Basically has their origins, their background stories from when they're children up until their collegiate years. I believe that's when they meet, in a nice 60s type of vibe. Basically, it's the intro of the relationship and the eventual downfall of Magneto and Professor X. But, it's good to see them on the same page for a little while. The introduction of the Hellfire Club is really cool in this movie. Actually, Kevin Bacon does a bang-up job. I forgot what mutant he's playing. Like I said, it's been a while. And they actually have the original OG X-Men costumes in there as well. The beginning of the X-Mansion. And like I said, the relationship between Charles and Eric is what sells me on this movie, because as you see their friendship budding, you can also see them butting heads to eventually the finality of the movie is them actually going at each other, drawing the lines in the sand, literally. So what did you think of this one, Mike? X-Men First Class.
Actually, this one is my number one as well. So I knew we might have a few that we overlapped. And I agree with you. I thought it was a great tie-in from the first X-Men movie. Because you start off with Eric, you see the image from the very first X-Men, from the flashback for Eric at the concentration camp. So you're seeing, everything kind of full circle. And then you're seeing what happened right afterwards. And I thought it was great how they tied them all together. And you actually got to see, if you were a comic book fan at all. I'm sorry, folks. I'm somewhat distracted here. I'm trying to find his Kevin Bacon's damn name on here. I'm trying to find the character that he was.
He's got some absorbing powers, I think.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to find it as I'm talking about this. Sebastian Shaw, sorry, that's what it was.
Yep, Sebastian Shaw, yeah.
Sorry, there we go. But yeah, I love the fact that they kind of tied it in and then showed what really drove Magneto, not just, you know, the fact that he was driven from his parents, but there was something more. There was those experiments that went on. But if you're a true comic book fan, you remember that Charles and Eric were friends. You know, yes, we remember seeing, you know, growing up, especially me, the 90s X-Men animated was, they were bitter enemies. They mentioned a little bit about being friends, but they were still bitter enemies. And you never really saw that crossover where, you know, him helping build Cerebro and just them being brothers in arms, so to speak.
Yeah, there's a great scene in that movie. I don't know if you remember it, or I believe they're in the X-Mansion, which is Charles's house, but, you know, it's the X-Mansion. And he's outside, and he's basically trying to get into his head, trying to make him move this satellite or some kind of dish outside.
Yeah, it was a dish, yeah. Big satellite.
And big satellite dish. And he can't move it. He's frustrated and basically just tells him, like, you know, you have to relieve your stress, put it all together. I think it's somewhere, like, his power lies between serenity and anger.
Yeah.
I believe the line that's when he used, and then he just let go. And you could see his joy when he moved it with Charles. And you could see that friendship there. They actually gave a shit about each other.
Yeah, that scene was actually where he was struggling, and because beforehand he was using his anger, very Sith-like, he was using his anger to power his abilities. And when Charles calmed him down, like when he was trying to grab the sub and like was dragging him across the ocean, Charles, you know, calmed him down, and he feels like, you know, something was taken away from him by Charles calming him down. And Charles touches him in a memory of his mother. I think it was like a birthday remembrance.
Yeah, it was birthday wish. So many good scenes in that movie, man. I mean, I could go back.
I saw it a couple of days ago. That's why it's really fresh in my head. But it was that moment. Even Eric's like, thank you for sharing that memory with me. And then he was able to do it because, like you said, he found that balance, that middle place for, you know, that he doesn't need to use the anger.
Yeah, and especially coming from the beginning of the movie when Sebastian Shaw shoots his mom, like, right in front of him just so he can make him move that quarter. And then he's driven by the rage. He destroys everything in that room. And Sebastian Shaw just kind of looks at him and says, "Ah, good. You did a good job."
To pat him on the shoulder and
walks away.
So, but yeah, and not only that, but just also the introduction of classic X-Men. I mean, I understand, but we did have the classic X-Men that we knew in the original X-Men. Those were the ones that we grew up with in the 80s, you know, in the 70s and the 80s. The Wolverines, the Cyclopses, the Storms, you know, we had those. But this was more, you know, Banshee, Beast. We had a very, very, you know, early X-Men, you know, cast.
Mm-hmm. You had
I was so excited. Yeah, Banshee was so great when I saw it. I was like, man, Banshee was awesome.
Banshee was great in that movie. Who else did they have? Banshee, Beast. They had
Darwin.
You had
Havoc.
Havoc was there. Then, Killer Frost was in there as well.
Emma Frost. Yeah, I know where
Emma
you're
Frost. Sorry. Wrong
and
world.
Then you had Angel Wings, or I think she was just Angel at that time. Azrael, sorry. You had Azrael.
Azrael, yep. Yeah. Okay, good job, Mike.
Yeah, Azrael, Havoc, Darwin, Sebastian, Banshee, and then Angel Salvador. Riptide, that's the guy. That was the one guy.
Riptide, okay.
Yeah, that was for the Hellfire. But then again, of course, you know, you had your introduction to Morgan McTaggart as well. So that was even something even better. So yeah, overall, I think if you're gonna watch one movie to start this, it's this one, because you can kind of branch out from here. You're being introduced to the main characters, so it doesn't matter if you pick up now or if you pick up when they're 40. You're being introduced to them.
And the through line of all the X-Men movies has always been Charles and Eric to me.
Right.
Because they're the linchpins, you know, and basically you can see, you know, the beginnings of the struggle, because, you know, one side is saying, hey, you know, let's be equal, because, you know, with the humans, the other side basically is saying, no, we're better. You know, we should be above them. And in a roundabout sort of way, they're both kind of right. because the humans do fear them for what they are. And Charles kind of wants to be buddy-buddy with them, like, hey, let's, you know, let's help each other out. So it just, that's the constant struggle of the X-Men comics throughout the years and the movies that they've kept, which I've actually loved. So.
Yeah. Well, again, that's one of those arguments that you and I, not arguments, but discussions we've had with, you know, with them bringing the X-Men into the new world of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is, I didn't want to lose the history, the 60s and the 70s history, because that is the biggest part of the X-Men is that they're basically a social justice team, that their problems are reminiscent and a mirror image of everything that went on in the 60s with the black culture, the feminist culture. That is everything that they're, you know, yes, they're white, but they're different, and everybody looks at them as they're completely different, and they take on that, what they basically took on, you know, the African-American, you know, race rights and things that went on during that time. That's basically what they're taking on. And Charles is the fun-loving hippie, and Eric's the staunch, no, it has to be this way and no other way. We can't give them anything. We have to lay stake and claim to our own thing.
Exactly.
And that's why I always said that they needed to at least keep that history to the X-Men, because you lose everything. You lose the meaning and the heart of the X-Men without this.
It'll be interesting to see what they do within the years to come with the X-Men, because they're going to have to change up their whole origin, you know, when they do go to Marvel Cinematic Universe. Or, I mean, there's some ways they can introduce them. I mean, I've read some theories, especially when it concerns the Snap. But I just, like you said, I hope they don't lose that history. But yeah. Like I said, we'll see what's going to happen.
I mean, if anybody's seen anything about, you know, if you've lived in a cave at all, I mean, the Spider-Man Far From Home, it makes the contact of multiverses. So that's where they're going to probably introduce them. I mean, honestly, if they're smart, and I'm sure a lot of people won't agree with this, take this cast and bring them in.
I hope. I wish.
Keep this universe that's already built. It's a built-in universe ready to use. Just drop them in. You don't need origin stories. You don't need to waste the time. You can jump right into the X-Men versus the Avengers first movie. You know, go full force.
I don't think they'll go that way, no, but that's a nice idea. So
the actors are young enough, so that's the one thing I'm giving them. So
we shall see. But that's X-Men First Class, definitely worth it. Get a chance to watch it. It's where you should definitely
And that's that. I second that. So Jeff and I, or Kane and I, are still on the same board with that.
All right. As far as my second movie is going to go to, we started at the beginning with X-Men First Class, so why not literally start at the beginning? And I'm going to start with the first X-Men movie, X-Men 2000, where we're introduced to the X-Men. This is the older Charles, the older Magneto, and basically it sets up starts the whole world of the X-Men. You're introduced to Wolverine, you're introduced to Jean Grey, Cyclops, you're introduced to Storm, you're introduced to all the classic X-Men that you know from the 90s series. They're there, facing, of course, the Brotherhood of Evil led by Magneto. Mike, what did you think about this one?
This one I enjoyed as being the first movie, the first time we've seen X-Men in a big screen. I enjoyed it. The casting was perfect. You know, for those characters to capture what they were deep down. There were a few things I didn't like. You know, Rogue was a little different than what I guess, you know, again, growing up 90s, it was her attitude. She was nobody to mess with. In this one, she was more of a timid little girl, afraid of everything, it seemed like. Logan, I thought they fleshed out Logan pretty good. My biggest thing is that was not Cyclops. Sorry, that was,
yeah,
don't know who that was. That was not a Cyclops that I know of or even heard of. Jean Grey, okay. And the Brotherhood, other than Toad and Magneto, I was not a fan, you know, of the rest of that. The one thing I do like, and I do like your choice. My second movie is completely different, by the way.
Okay.
But I do like your choice, because if you have ever watched these, the ending of the first one, they sort of kind of have the same, you know, back and forth about, you know, what's going to happen. And I like where you're going with it, because you kind of explain, okay, you at the end of the first class, you understand that, hey, they're gone. You know, they're no longer friends. They've jumped now to here, you know, 30 years, I guess, because that was what, 60s, late 60s. So yeah, you're talking about 30 years.
And you can still see that they're still friends, in a way, especially that scene in the beginning when they're in the UN building where he's walking in by and just looking, hey, are you knocking around in there, Charles? He's like, I'm just seeing if a friend is still there. He's like, the world belongs to us, Charles, not them. And that was just, he just walks away. And it's just like, it's still that struggle. They're going through it 30 years later. They still can't agree. Yep. It's just crazy, man. It's a long friendship for not agreeing on anything. So, but it's definitely a worth watch for me. I mean, the special effects don't really hold up. Story is kind of wonky. I did not like the senator turning into a fish type creature and dying. That was kind of lame to me. But other than that, it's just solid. Just solid from beginning to end. You see Wolverine for the first time. I mean, all the complaints about Wolverine being too tall, I guess those were thrown out the window.
The acting held up enough to do that.
I mean, seeing Magneto with the helmet for the first time floating and just, levitating those cars was cool. And of course, Patrick Stewart was always going to be the perfect Professor X. So.
Oh, yeah. I think that was a wizard. When they did the early casting for that, that was one of, actually, not even the early casting. They were talking, I think that issue of Wizard came out like 90s, early 94, 95.
They were talking Patrick Stewart then.
Yeah, they were talking Patrick Stewart then. I think Wolverine was Glenn Danzig, actually, which.
Yeah.
It's like, Danzig, really? Okay, I can see that going. All right.
Yeah, he's a little angry guy. Why not?
So for me, though, my second on this, and I was extremely shocked with myself when I actually sat down and I picked all these out and I just went bam, bam, bam. This, I went with the thought of, if I'd never seen these before, what should I watch? And I went with X-Men Days of Future Past.
Ooh.
And the reason I chose this is because we needed a nod to the old cast, and that had that. That had the old and the new cast blended. Because you did have Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. You had them playing themselves, their older selves, as Magneto and Professor X, just in the future. You had your Storm. You had your Wolverine. It had everybody in. But there was it was them going back in time. And to me, it was more of a comic book movie to me. It was really taken from the books. You were introduced to Bishop. Thought a great job. That was, was that Eldris that did that?
I believe so. I don't think it was Eldris. He looked like him, though.
I'm trying to remember if
I don't think it was, but I agree with you. That was the combination of both, the old and the newer. You got them in there.
Perfect handshake to say, hey, this is what we have. So I'm getting the nods to what the original cast did in this and showing them there but this is having Wolverine. If he hadn't told them to fuck off in the first movie, it's showing them working together, and showing. Again, it was based off of the Days of the Future Past comic book. It was a rougher draft of it, but it still was there, and that's what I really liked about it.
Oh, I love this movie. It's on my list too. Actually, it was my third.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of it's kind of crazy. So yeah, that's funny you said that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but actually I believe that was Eldris.
Was it Eldris?
I believe that's who that is.
I mean, it looked like him, but I don't think it was him. I mean, it could have been. I don't think it was him.
No, I think never mind. That was I think is the guy's name. But I mean, you also had Peter Dinklage in there as Trask, which was great. You had the introduction to Stryker as now a private. So you're tying to me. This movie tied characters from whether you went to Wolverine, whether you went to X-Men. It just tied everybody together. So that's why I think to me that's why I feel this a good movie.
It's a really good movie, especially when he had the introduction of the Sentinels. That's what we've been waiting for, like all the X-Men movies.
Yep.
Because the only time you ever saw the Sentinels was in the X-Men 3, that horrible movie, which that thank God did not make the list. But then there was a sequence in the beginning of the movie where in the Danger Room where they're fighting the Sentinels. You see like a version of the Sentinels. In this movie, they're actually fully formed. You get both forms of them, the original OG Sentinels, and then you see the future Sentinels, which for me kind of I didn't like too much. I didn't like, they shapeshifted and they were just like, these kind of liquid nanonite type of creatures. But I mean, I was good with that. So like I said, you have the Sentinels there. You have all the X-Men in there. You have, again, the relationship between Charles and Eric, from basically you go in the past where they hate each other into the future. Punisher, well, they're basically best friends now. They're like, hey, man, I'm sorry for what I did. You know, I should have thought about it. And I thought that would add a little bit of closure, especially to Patrick and to Ian's characters.
Yeah, and what I did like what they did for this one, they did a started running a internet campaign where they were showing how Magneto killed JFK, because that's why in the beginning, that's why he's in prison.
Yep.
Because he changed the trajectory of the magic bullet. He was trying to save JFK. But instead, by trying to do it, it killed him instead. So, I mean, I thought it was a very interesting tie into that. But then again, you got to see characters you never saw before. You know, you had Warpath on there. You had who else was on? I mean, you had so many.
Quicksilver, man.
The introduction of Quicksilver.
Was great. He's the best Quicksilver out of anything, out of all the incarnations in Marvel.
But you had Blink, Sunspot, Warpath. You know, you had a lot of good introductions. And what I loved is that they introduced not just the older characters, but you brought them into the younger ones. Because you had Kelsey Grammer playing Beast, and then you brought in, what's the gentleman's name?
Which one?
I'm trying to remember.
Cyclops?
No, the guy that plays Beast.
Nicholas Holt?
Yeah, Nicholas, yeah. Yeah, and then at the very end of this movie, you have when Wolverine wakes up and he is now back at the beginning. He's back into the early X-Men cast, and you now have the original cast back. You have Cyclops back. You have Jean back from the original X-Men. So like I said, that's the reason why I picked this one as number two.
That's my number three, actually, but it's a great movie. So, I mean, I can't flaunt you on that one. So it's just, that was my top three, you know, so
okay.
I guess we're going to go to your number three.
So then my number three logically goes into line with X-Men Apocalypse.
Really?
Yeah.
You like that movie?
I liked it because, again, it stayed core true to the comic book. It wasn't our Apocalypse that we wanted. Yes, he had the deep voice every once in a while, which I loved. It was a little like, hey, we can't do this through the whole thing. But when he does hit that tone, it's there. He didn't get big like you wanted him to, but he did. Just in a
dream sequence. Yeah.
Which is perfectly fine, you know, that was him doing what we wanted him to do. He did it, just didn't do it the way we wanted it to happen. Completely fine. You had the right. Now, this is the one that really got me, and that's why I think this is this trilogy makes the perfect trilogy for the X-Men. You had the correct version of Weapon X.
Yes. Yes, you did.
You didn't have what we saw in the other X-Men's, you know, in Wolverine Origin. No, we saw Weapon X. We saw the headgear, the chest piece, the whole shebang.
Yep.
And that's, you know, and we see that moment where they do run in, and we see the moment of Jean and him having a bit of bit of something. And, you know, what did you give him? She's like, I gave him a little piece of whatever he had lost, whatever I can find. And then, bam, he's out the door. And that's when you pick up, you know where he's going now. He's just off running.
Yep. Berserker rage.
You know.
And all that stuff. Yeah, I mean.
You had probably one of the coolest Quicksilver scenes. I mean, one of the best stop motion scenes ever.
Oh, yeah.
When the mansion's exploding, it's him grabbing everybody in Sweet Dreams, you know, or me.
Sweet Dreams by the Eurythmics is playing. Yeah. I mean, I thought that scene even trumped the one he did last movie.
Days of Future Past, yeah.
Days of Future Past, yeah. He was great. And then he did this one. He actually trumped it, especially the stop motion scenes where he's just picking up the pizza, the cat, and everybody and just saving lives. It's great. I love this version of Quicksilver.
Yeah, and then not only that, but you also look at the other ones you have. You had Psylocke come in. You had finally actually had a real version of Angel, who turned into Archangel. All right, you know, you had you didn't have the billionaire whose dad was trying to, you know, change him and stuff in the Last Stand, the X-Men Last Stand.
Nightcrawler, great intro too.
Great intro for Nightcrawler. Everybody was great intro for Cyclops, and that actor actually, I completely missed it until I watched it this weekend. That's the same actor that went on to Ready Player One.
Yep, same guy.
I was like, well, wait, oh, okay. But you just had some, and you had an introduction of Jean Grey, and you just saw how everything went. Yeah, Charles going bald so fast. I was kind of like, okay, that's a little weak.
Yeah, it was a little wonky, but
you see Charles and Xavier, you know, getting back together, but also knowing, and again, this is the one thing that I liked, that it kind of took the place, and this is one reason why I think it took the place of the first X-Men movie for me, was the speech at the very end was the same speech that they gave at the beginning.
Yep, Same thing.
Same word for word speech. And I was like, you know what? That kind of, that speech had to happen in one of those movies. And that was what I liked about that.
Yeah. So. It was the same one that Patrick Stewart, I think, gave.
Yep. Same word for word.
Was it an X2? That was an X2. I think it was.
No, it was the same one from the very one, first one when they met in the hallway and they're like, you know,
oh,
don't you fear for anybody that, you know, or aren't you worried for your kids? You know, if somebody tries to take,
oh, then he's like, yeah, I fear a poor swell of pity for anybody who comes to us, knocking on my school door.
Yeah. For trouble. It was the same speech from the very first X-Men that he gave again, and I was like, "That's perfect."
They kind of leave
the same way. They're like, "I'm going my way, you're going your way, but we're gonna have this talk."
Yeah, and he actually, to me, the sequence at the end where they put on the costumes and they're getting ready to fight in the danger room, I was like, "Ah, this is the X-Men I wanted. I mean, I've been waiting for this for almost six films." And they're training, and you've seen Charles in there just like leading them. It's just,
yeah, that's it.
There's a lot of good things in this movie. It's not one of my favorites because I think it wasn't the apocalypse that I wanted.
But
I
wanted we still got apocalypse. So.
Yeah, we still got apocalypse. I mean, and if you remember this movie too, is the opening scene. Opening scene's great, by the way. I mean, the X-Men always does those great opening scenes, you know, especially going back to Nightcrawler and X2 in the White House. This one of the great one where the intro of Apocalypse. And those mutants that he creates when he's switching bodies, oh, especially with that one mutant who's like crushing people's bodies, and one guy who's like, that's just good stuff. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in this movie.
And I just feel
one of my faves. Just, you know,
but I just feel it's a good way of also because that's the moment you see Jean use the Phoenix for the first time, and actually there's a moment in there as he's dying, as Apocalypse is dying, and he sees it, and there's like this moment of, okay, I don't have to do anything. Like the perfect mutant is there, you know, because his thing was to always be better and be better and be better. And there was like this moment of just like giving in once he saw the Phoenix.
Yeah, because he sort of knew.
Yeah.
He's like, yep, I know I can let go now because the thing, she's going to be more powerful than me, which, you know,
yeah,
if they did the movie right, she's supposed to be, so we're gonna find out.
Yeah we will find out.
Good choice, I like that.
Yeah, that was, again, and I was surprised. I thought I was gonna go old school because I know me. I don't know me, because I was like, man, when I sat down and I rewatched them, I spent this week and I rewatched each one, and when I got to the final, the last new cast, you know, I was just like, yeah, this one's perfect. And in the Days of Future Past, because it blended both casts, so you saw the young and the old of these characters and saw what could have been.
And I guess I could say an honorable mention to X2, another great movie, by the way. I didn't put it in my top three, it barely didn't make it because I had to put Days of Future Past up there, but X2, another great movie, intro of the older Stryker, and just basically Wolverine going off another scene in the X-Mansion, so... You know, if you guys want to check that one out, X2 is also another fantastic X-Men movie that you could put on your queue or quote and watch
it. And again, guys, we had to keep it narrow because we wanted to. I mean, really, you throw in Logan and Deadpool, we could have knocked out, you know, the two of those instantly, but we had to choose.
With the, you know, basically the last film coming up this Friday, so the closing of a chapter. Yeah. So,
and
like Captain Mike said, we could have put Logan up there easily, but it's not technically an X-Men movie.
So. Yeah, we chose to kind of take that out. We just wanted strictly X-Men, even though, yes, Charles and Wolverine, you know, and Logan are both in this. But I will have a review for you guys next week. That is coming because I am going to see it Thursday night. Hopefully we'll get a review. I don't know if Kane's going to be able to, you know, squeak out and get it, but we'll definitely have a review. I may do a quick post online afterwards, just to kind of give a quick shout out and let you guys know, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. And I do understand there are some, I know Kane is definitely one of the ones, is a little upset about, you know, what we've read so far about how it ends. So.
Yeah, just it's kind of. I mean, I get it. I don't get it. I do get it. I don't get it. It's just
there was a mention, and this is something I read. I don't know if you read the same thing, that they said the ending they changed from one place to another because apparently there's another superhero movie that recently came out that the ending was extremely similar, and they didn't want to copy that. That's why they changed where it was at.
Okay, I mean, but the ending they've come up with, it's just not something. I mean, you've seen the trailers. Apparently, that's the ending. There are just a lot of ways they could have done it.
Yeah.
That ending, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I could be dead wrong. Maybe that's not even the ending. Maybe it's the middle of the movie. Who knows? But
well, like I said, I had read something where they were saying, yeah, there is an ending, and it does take place where people are saying it takes place at instead of where we think it should and it needs to. But they were saying because of how Captain Marvel ended, let's just say it, put it that way, just put it the name out there, how Captain Marvel ended, that that's why they had to change it, because it was too similar.
I mean, I won't even go into it. I don't want to get fired up.
We're going to get fired up after we see it. We're going to save that one for that episode we can sit down and break down and just do a great review on it. And again, it's been, how long? What'd you say, 18 years?
19 years.
19 years. So, I mean, we're talking, we got kids out there just getting out of high school or just starting college, that this start came out when this story and this journey for them started back then. So definitely good, strong storytelling to keep it going that long. Not a lot of shows do or movies do that and storylines do that. I can think of, Harry Potter, James Bond going that long, not even the Avengers so far. So the X-Men still have one thing over the Avengers.
Yep, so maybe eventually we'll actually see that X-Men versus Avengers movie down the line,
Let's hope so, let's hope so.
I'd like to give a little bit of, before we go, I'd like to give a couple little bit honorable mentions, not movie-wise, but as far as X-Men goes. Yes. We get a chance, watch the series Legion. It is in the X-Men world. It is not tied to any of the movies, I will say that. But if you are a fan of the X-Men and you're the fan especially of David, who is the son of Professor X, the series is not what you're going to think it's going to be as far as a superhero TV show is. It's beyond that, and you like it. You talk about suspending your disbelief. You really to suspend your belief. You do. Especially if you watch that first episode, you really – it's very dense. I'll say that. It's a very dense show. It goes very deep, especially to this character and how he relates to the entire world and – and basically, you have to find out who you're rooting for. Is the guy you're rooting for, is he the enemy? Is he the hero? Because you don't know. And it explains that. I think season 3 is going to be coming out on June 21st when you get a chance to watch that. And actually another X-Men series, which recently just got canceled, which kind of sucks. What was the name of it?
The Gifted.
The Gifted, yes. Yeah. The Gifted ended after 2 seasons.
Great, yeah, great.
Which kind of sucks because it actually was the underground movement versus, a version of the Hellfire Club. I thought it was, I kind of hoped it was going to be saved, but another good series to watch if you're into the X-Men. Very good. Does tie into the movies. So.
Yeah, but I mean, what was great with that one, with The Gifted, it was the children that were on there. They were the characters that they actually ended.
They're great. Would
have ended up being, but no, the mutants that they were supposed to end up being was that they were the harbingers, and it was just great to see that and to see the small characters that they would introduce on the side. The Emma Frost characters that they were introducing, the triplets, it was great to see. Even they introduced like a small Sentinel, which I thought was kind of nice. Like they were like little tiny drones, but they were not just controlled, but they were driven.
Sentinel Services, Polaris, you had a lot.
Everything was great on there, so I was so happy to see it, and because that and Legions, I think, came out the same time.
Yeah,
so I was like, time. This is great, XTV, awesome, I love it, and they just unfortunately didn't pick up like I thought they would.
Well, it was on a bigger network, which I think NBC, Fox, CBS are the big primetime networks, and I think it was not going to survive that. It's kind of like Lucifer, it was on Fox, and it. It wasn't going to survive those 22 episode runs. It's better built on a streaming service, 10, 13 episodes. And it just sucks that we're never going to see those characters again, at least in that incarnation.
Yeah.
Because it was a really good show. And
hopefully, maybe.
I mean, I think it's on Hulu. So if you get a chance, watch that, The Gifted.
Yes. So actually, they all are on Hulu. Actually, even Legion is on Hulu. So you guys, if you need to catch up, that's where you're going to catch up at.
Yeah. And the Legion is not a long series, by the way. I think it's 10 episodes. So you can catch up fairly quickly. And because they're releasing season 3, which will be the last season. And if you did watch the season finale, season 2 of Legion, you'll see where it's going. And it's going to be all hell breaking loose pretty much. So Yeah, that's my recommendations as far as X goes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, those are good recommendations. I couldn't think of anything else. I mean, other than, you know, if you want to really delve into the, you know, just the animated world, there's some really good animated series. Obviously, we've mentioned and referenced the 90s X-Men, because that's a good classic one, because in that one, really, they do a smart thing when it comes to the animation. They break it out for comic book readers that these five episodes are this storyline, but then they can do a continuation and have the team do something new, and then these next six episodes are this comic book storyline. So they really hold true to what the comics did. You know, a few tweaks here and there just because of time constraints, and that is also was written for kids. So, mm-hmm. But then you also have one of my favorite ones was X-Men Evolution. I thought
yes.
It was really fun. It
well done, too, especially all their storylines. I think they did the best portrayal of Apocalypse as far as his backstory
was,
too.
Yeah, I think they did great. And again, they were kind of followed the same 90s feel of this is a story. We're going to follow this story arc this many times, you know, for this many episodes, and then jump on to the next one. So I would definitely recommend those if you're more animated in what you like.
And if you want to go a little bit further back, you know, go back to the original X-Men animated series, which is always my favorite. It has the original. I don't think it's been duplicated. It has the Dark Phoenix saga in that as well. Yeah. No, I don't know what season it's in, but it's season 3, 4. Yeah. I don't know, I forgot which one, but it's definitely in there. So if you get a chance and you want to don't have your appetite for Dark Phoenix just yet, check out the animated version. It's great.
Yeah, it does a good job. Good job. All right, folks. Well, again, just like every week, we want to thank you guys for listening, downloading, subscribing. Share us on your Twitter. If you guys need us for anything, to reach out to us, to see where we're at Facebook-wise or whatever social media or download sites, go to heroesasylum.com. You can find all of your goodies and your needs for Hero Asylums, and hopefully by week's end we will be YouTube channel.
That's
something I've been working on, and hopefully we will have that out there. So if you guys or somebody, you know, would listen at work or something like that, you can dial it up from work or something, or just sitting around the house cleaning, you can just fire us up on YouTube and we will be there. We won't be going full video just yet, but it definitely will be our episodes. So that is another option to find and get your Heroes Asylum fix, because we know how the inmates are if they don't get their medicine.
Yep, they get a little riled up.
So what do you have for us, sir?
Twitter, Instagram at Heroes Asylum as always. And of course, and as always, I'm going to mention every week until you're blue in the ear and the face and bleeding from ears, is our Facebook page, Heroes Asylum. That's where we post all our stuff, our movie reviews, comment section, especially for our polls. We just did one that we did our movie reviews, especially actually our watch-alongs, which was unfortunately Batman and Robin. But you guys voted. I took my medicine. I did it. So we're going to put up a new poll on our next watch-along. Coming this Wednesday, I have to decide which ones to put on there as far as suggestions goes.
Yeah, we'll sit down and figure that one out.
Yeah, so, and as always, there is no webmaster on that page. And there's not some guy from India basically running the page. It's just me and Mike, so get at us. We'll comment, post, please, and we will get back to you as soon as we can. Mike!
Folks, we will see you next week.
Get to the asylum.